Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Cher Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. And in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Cher Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Cher.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
It's
getting hot here.
It's what?
It's getting hot in the Bay Area here.
Well, that's because the weather up in the mountains is absolutely perfect.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It is true.
Usually when I think hot in the Bay Area, I think baking oven in the mountains.
No.
No.
In fact, about 3 days ago, there was the first hint of fall in the air.
That's great.
Yes. So
you need to
come up to the mountains and visit us up here.
That sounds like a wonderful
In fact, that's an invitation to everyone.
Come up to the mountains.
Everyone listening.
Wonderful.
We have this fabulous monastery, this beautiful place. People can come. It's quiet, birds singing. Little animals running around, beautiful gardens, courtyard, you can meditate, great food, it's a good place to be.
It's beautiful.
It is.
I've been there many times, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place.
Yeah. So I can't remember, there's some sort of expression that just went completely out of my brain, but anyway, the welcome sign is always out.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Wonderful. I have something to start off with.
All right.
I like to think that the world revolves around me, and sometimes I get information that is not so.
Oh, isn't that just, it's just depressing, isn't it? Because without people giving us that information, we could just live happily in delusion for an entire lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah. What happened? What did you find out?
Well, what I realized is that this radio show is not just about me and not just about you. There's a lot of other people involved.
My goodness.
Yes. And on the website, on the Open Air website, on World Talk, there are these wonderful summaries that are written every week for every show.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it's just kind of magical. And we have two wonderful people that are really there and writing those summaries and editing those summaries every week. So I just wanted to appreciate and acknowledge Michael and Cherry for their wonderful, generous, ongoing contribution in that area.
Now, somebody could get confused and think that you did that whole setup just to thank us for writing and editing those summaries. But it's actually a different Michael and a different Cherry.
That's funny. I did not even realize
that. I didn't think about it until I just heard you say it.
Yes, it's a different Michael and a different Cherry who's doing that work, and I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah, because there's a lot involved in doing just about anything, and this radio show is no exception. And so to have those folks in that support capacity is just it's hugely helpful.
It's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that people are listening to this show, I'd also like to acknowledge the wonderful engineers at World Talk who are there every week, keeping the show up and keeping the internet up and the phone lines up and everything running smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah. Making this possible.
Making this possible. So I'd like to appreciate and acknowledge Paul and Alana and Garrick for everything that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Wonderful. And since we have a call-in talk show, I'm pleased to announce that we have a caller. I'd like to welcome Valerie from Fargo, North Dakota. Open Air with Cher Huber.
Hello, Valerie.
Hello. I am calling back from last week. Pleased to announce that I found a new place to live and that I did my best to not make it a contest of me moving out.
Nobody had to feel bad.
And I'm still friends with all the people that I'm living with, even though I'm moving out.
Isn't that good?
What?
Now, in the you know, like Zen practice, that's called skillful means, using skillful means, right?
But it has been a tough week for my dealing with egocentric karma conditioning, and I did my best at observing what was going on, but it's been a tough week. There's been a lot of fear, and I've just did my best to watch it and observe it. And now I have even a better idea at all of the patterns that I go through. And they're just recognizable from earlier stressful situations.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you again for being so authentic and having so much courage.
Well, you're just as welcome as you can be, and let's not forget projection, okay? Because you're the one who's doing the work.
Right? Yes,
you're the one actually being courageous and authentic. So we just need to, you know, keep that in the front of our conscious awareness. And it is nice that we have support. And so thanks to all of us. This is just a thankful sort of an afternoon, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so there are the folks at World Talk Radio, and there are the folks doing the writing and editing for us, and there's Michael, and there's me, and there's you, and there's everybody listening in, and all the other folks who are calling in, and we're Sangha, even though there are people involved in that who don't think of themselves as Sangha. But we are all, in fact, attempting to wake up and end suffering in our own way and however we talk about it, and we can be deeply grateful that we are all doing this.
I have to thank those people who do write the summaries and who do that. You use certain buzzwords in your work. I call them buzzwords.
Uh-huh.
I typed in Google, Sherry Huber, and then the word contest. So I got writings from your website and another archive show that talked about making contests out of things. So
it's an amazing world, isn't it? It's an amazing time to be living. Yeah. You want to know something about your spiritual practice? You Google it, and there it is. It's a great thing. All right. Well, you take care of yourself, and keep in touch, huh?
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, that is the first I've heard using Google and Sherry Huber and your sort of current content.
It's news to me as well.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Well, somebody else will have to take that on because it's not a project that I could get involved in, but it would be interesting to see, you know, if you looked up Sherry Huber in projection or subpersonalities or conscious compassionate awareness, you know, would something come up?
Yeah.
So that's handy.
That is handy. Maybe we'll hear from one of our listeners on that topic.
Yeah. You know, what Valerie was talking about is so great in on so many levels, because as I'm sure you remember, there was this situation with the roommates and how to leave a living situation that wasn't really working without people getting angry and upset and becoming scary. And by bringing conscious awareness to that situation, she was able to extricate herself in a way that left everybody with, this sounds like a negative, but it's a positive, without adding any more karma.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily that anything great and good and positive came from it, although maybe it did and maybe it will. But the point is that we didn't have to add any more negativity, anything else to be dealt with, anything to be overcome. There are no hard feelings. There's no anger, no animosity, even if it's not overt loving kindness, which maybe it is, but even if it's not, simply doing something in a way that doesn't cause any more suffering or any more harm is a tremendous contribution to us all.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Yeah, that's simple. It's a small thing, and yet the process on either side is what drives nations to war.
Yes, yes.
Or keeps nations from being at war.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's important and valuable for us all to look at as a process as we go around in our lives. There's a little essay, as you know, in the back of One Less Act of Violence. It's in the back of, what book is it? That Which You're Seeking is Causing You to Seek, and it's called One Less Act of Violence.
Yes.
And that's the whole point of that little essay. You know, we don't have to make wholesale changes in ourselves or try to make wholesale changes in the world. It's just in this situation, can we choose nonviolence? Can we refrain from doing something that is harmful? Just this once, this little choice in this day.
Yes.
And the cumulative effect of those choices is enormous.
Yes. Yes. As you were talking, I was thinking of there's a peace quote, I think it was, that was sent out a week or two ago, I'm not sure if you remember the one, about the snowflakes collecting on the branch.
Mm.
And the collective weight of them over time causing the branch to break.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you remember it, but the question, it was written beautifully about the weight of each snowflake being nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Nothing. And yet, when the 3,500,000 snowflake hit the branch, and then it broke.
Yeah.
And the analogy was made to peace in the way that I project that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it sounds like a negative because that doesn't seem like a good result to break the branch. But the point is, it's not unlike the 100th monkey thing that was so popular a while back. You know, there's we don't know when the one person is going to do the one thing that tips the scales in the direction of peace.
Yes.
And if we wait around for the one great, giant, memorable act that's going to bring about world peace, it's not going to happen. But if we are doing the little acts, making the little choices moment by moment that lead us to inner peace, then as that builds, there we go. Each one of those maybe seem to carry the weight of a snowflake, but when we get enough of those, 350, whatever it is, 1,000, it's going to show up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This show is just so inspiring to me. I love it.
Yeah,
me
too.
I'm just all fired up.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because we have another caller.
Isn't that good?
Isn't that good? I'd like to welcome Dave from Dallas. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Sherry. I called you last week.
Yes.
So I have a follow-up and a follow-up question, too.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the advice of being more like a passionate parent, or at least showing our passion and our feelings. Because I have tried it with my boy, and it's working. At least I'm learning something. I feel that I'm not stuck, and I'm more open.
Uh-huh.
And I'm learning things from him, and I'm learning things about me. And I'm using that, you know, casual talk that you were recommending. And, for example, the other day we went to the park. It's a block away from home, And, you know, as soon as we got there, 5 minutes later, he was challenging me. I was telling him not to do something, and he was basically challenging me. And so, I mean, doing it, nicely I explained and that, and so I got angry. And instead of, you know, refraining, repressing, all that, I got angry, and I said, okay, we're out of here. I don't have a good time when you when you're doing that. And so if we're starting like this, we're out of here. Of course, I was reacting a lot. I was walking back with him, crying. You know, I realized that. But I realized I learned some things. For example, it's true what you say, that feelings have short lifespan, really. And I can see it in him. Because as soon as we got home, you know, a block away, he was fine and thinking of something else. Mm-hmm. He had cried all the way, and he was done. And so I said, you know, I really got angry with that, and I wish sometimes I didn't react so fast, you know, and I just make it, you know, black or white, you know, so soon. But you know what? And he said, and I said, but I couldn't understand why you. After I explained everything very nicely and we went over, you would do it again, kind of challenging me. I wouldn't understand. And he said, it was an accident.
I didn't mean to.
Right, but you know what? And I thought, I give him the benefit of the doubt because
yeah.
I think he's 4 years old.
Yeah.
He's not, he has a different timer inside.
Yeah.
So when I'm talking, he's so excited of doing that. He was throwing a rock at something. And so he was so excited to do that. He was just, you know, and on top of a big pile of rocks when I was explaining this. So he just picked another one and did it. And I remember, I believe him because he wasn't like, he was looking at me and see what you do. It was just like something that, it just came out of him without him realizing it.
Right. Yeah.
So I said, well, then I'm sorry. You know, I thought you were just doing it on purpose to challenging me, and I'm sorry I reacted like that. I think what I should have done is just remind you and say, this is what's going to happen if you do it again. I think, I wish I would have done that. He said, yes, and how about if we go, and I said, well, why don't we go back? We pick up that rock, we put it back, and we have a good time. He said, yeah. How about if we, you know, make a sign and put it there so I remember not to do it.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, if we put a sign, then we have to remember to pick up the sign. I think you are, you know, good enough to remember, don't you think? Yeah. So we went and we had a great time.
Yeah.
But I'm all the while learning, and I really appreciate your advice and your guidance. And
well, you know, one of the things that occurs to me about that is how easy it is for us as adults to project onto children what they know, what they understand, what they're doing, and what their motivation is.
Right.
And to me, what you guys worked out in this is that it's just not true that kids understand what we understand and make the connections that we make. And it's so sweet for him to explain it that way, because what I project he's saying is, I didn't mean to. I didn't have any intention to do what you interpreted what I did as meaning.
Right.
You know, I wasn't trying to do what you thought I was trying to do.
Right.
And when we step back from it, it's easy to see that, well, of course. I mean, we can guess that is probably just exactly so.
Right.
And then being able to have that conversation and together to get to a workable solution and something, a place where you both feel good and can enjoy yourselves, that's as good as it gets on both sides of the equation.
Yeah, I'm very happy. I realize sometimes that now that I'm letting my passion, my feelings come out, it's like, wow, I'm also a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like a child myself.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, I was talking to some folks yesterday, and they had children of the starting to school age, and what we were just kind of looking at casually in the conversation was how many that as parents taking their kids to the first day of school, they feel like they're back. You know, it takes them right back to what it was like to be that age and the first day of school and how big and overwhelming it was and how scary things were and how exciting and all of that. So it's often the case when we're with children that we find ourselves going to exactly the age they are or younger than they are. And if we can have understanding for ourselves that that does happen to us, if we can get off of the conditioned, but I'm an adult, I'm supposed to be the parent here, I have to be the one always to be wise and in charge and that sort of thing, if we can just say, yeah, that's a natural thing that happens in a parent-child relationship, well, then we can use it as a way to heal ourselves as well as you did with your child, to offer a way of being with oneself that is going to serve that child all of his life.
Right.
Yeah.
Then there was the question I have is, while I'm doing this work and I'm trying to express myself honestly, mm-hmm. express my feelings honestly and also be more aware, I'm discovering that the way I express myself is really sometimes a lot of projection.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm at a point right now where I see my spontaneity and my passion being crushed by this self-consciousness of how should I express myself. And I think sometimes I even come off as insincere.
Yeah.
Like, let me give you an example. I used to say, you know, to somebody, you betrayed me. You did this and this and that and this and that. Okay, now I learned it's not like that. It's I feel betrayed.
Right.
But what I perceive that you've done, and I mean, what you have done here, I perceived as betrayal, and I feel betrayed. That would be more accurate.
Yes.
Also, but then, I mean, this is a small example, but if you get into, you know, more deeper, then I start, like, almost stuttering, you know? Like,
yeah.
I it's not that if you betray me, it's that really I feel betrayed, or not exactly betrayed, it's not that you betrayed me, is that, you know, it's just, I hate
right.
it.
And people,
I used to be so honest, you know.
People start wandering off, right?
Right.
Like, what is this guy babbling about?
So I don't know how to express myself. I want to say, for example, I see something that somebody is doing that is affecting me. I see it really as immature. And I want to say, you know, I think this, what you're doing is very mature. That's what I think.
Yeah.
But now I am stopping myself and saying, well, what?
To me, it's a matter of stages. Okay, so there was a time when you were young, when something happened and you just act out. You know, it's just you feel, you know, that your son is probably still in this. You know, he gets upset over something, he just starts crying. He's really enjoying himself. He just laughs and jumps around. Okay, and then we get information that that's not okay to do that. So we start trying to make ourselves appropriate, socially acceptable, and all of that. And we're conditioned, okay? Then we get into a situation and our conditioning. So, you know, I'm not supposed to get angry with you if you say something that I don't like. You know, I'm supposed to, whatever it is. And I do that, but then there are times when it's just so upsetting what you've said that I just, wah! Okay? And we think of that as spontaneous or authentic, that this is what's really going on with me. But it's not. All that's happened is I have lost my ability to control my conditioned reactions. Okay, so we see our way through, okay, well, all right, well, that's not authentic either. So now we're learning to pay attention closer, 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 closer. I'm right there in the moment, right there in the moment. And I see exactly what arises in me when you say what you said or when you do what you did. And I can see it, you know, wow, that really hurts my feelings, or God, that's scary to me. Okay? And I can see that acting out reaction that seemed so spontaneous was just as conditioned as everything else. Okay, so I'm closing in now. I'm more there. Someday, I'm going to be in this situation, and I will simply express what's right there in the moment, much like I did when I was a very small child, except my expression will be different. I probably won't burst into tears. But the expression will be as authentic as it was before the conditioning.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that's I have some questions then. When you told me last week, and I'm that as a parent, I should let my passion get out, you know,
yes.
Express my passion.
Absolutely.
Then I'm what you just telling me now is that I'm expressing actually my conditioning.
Well, I'm encouraging you to look and see what's what about what's going on, and in the same way that with the example of your son and the rocks, you know, it looked one way, you thought it was something, you projected something, he's having a different experience, how is he expressing what's, okay? So we want to look really closely, watch really carefully everything that happens so that we can get a sense of what's under that, what's under that, what's under that, what's under that, until we get back to just the moment. In Zen, we call it a circle with no remainder. There's just this and nothing added to it. So it's a matter of keep watching.
Okay? If you see, okay, let me, one last question.
Okay.
If you see, you know, somebody is doing something that you perceive as, you're convinced is dangerous for you, or is they're going to have a bad effect on you. So, and you see that, let's say, as immature for this case. So how should I express it? Say, or do nothing? Because it seems to me that what you're saying is like basically just be in the moment, watch yourself, be present with what you're feeling, and then I don't see what.
Well, the difficulty is what you're trying to do now is form a mental picture of what it's going to look like when you're authentically present. And what this work is to be authentically present and see what arises.
Okay.
All right?
All right, I'll try that and I'll let you know.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Dave. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're at the end of this segment, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.